You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So I say D, I say D-O, D-O-D, D-O-D-G, D-O-D-G-E-R-S, team, 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 all.
Yo, 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 Dodger fans. Welcome to Locked On Dodgers. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team, every day. This is a daily podcast covering the Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. I'm Vince Samperio of Chavez Ravine Fiends, and today I am rolling solo. Jeff Snyder of Baseball Essential, my usual co-host, is out at a baseball tournament with his son, and the hotel Wi-Fi was not great and would have made it difficult to do an episode. We're going to get into a quick recap of the Dodgers draft, 6 picks in 5 rounds, and then I'm going to get a little bit into my backstory. But before that, a quick reminder to subscribe to Locked On Dodgers wherever you get your podcasts, and when you get in your car or if you're at home, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. All right, so the MLB draft was on Wednesday and Thursday. The Dodgers made 6 picks in 5 rounds. They chose 4 pitchers and 2 position players. We'll get into a deeper dive with Future Dodgers at Future Dodgers on Twitter on Monday's episode. But I'll just go into basically telling you who the Dodgers picked, a little bit of a take on them, and go from there. So with the first pick, the Dodgers had number 29 overall, the last pick of the first round since the Astros were cheating and didn't have a pick. The Dodgers picked a right-handed pitcher out of Louisville, Bobby Miller. Bobby Miller got some pretty instant praise on social media because of his plus fastball and his fiery attitude. And then he went on to do an interview with members of the media after and said Walker Buehler is his favorite pitcher and that he can hold his own with the F-bombs with Walker. So that was all exciting. He's definitely taller than Walker Buehler. He's about 6'5", and he was 2-0 with the 2.31 ERA and 4 starts for Louisville in the spring. Struck out 34 batters and, you know, has a, like I said, plus fastball, slider, changeup, and curveball. Still got to work a little bit on the secondary pitches, but when you can pump 97, 98, you know, you can get away with a little bit more. Billy Gasparino said about him that he's a great athlete. They knew his arm strength. They were concerned about his strike throwing, command, and secondary pitches, but that he made big adjustments in his delivery and his slider, picked his fastball up between last season and this season, and it all kind of came together, an early season potential click to pick, and did say that he may be on a faster track than most to get to the big league. So, you know, he's exciting. Jeff and I both said earlier this week that we are not really draft, any type of draft experts. You know, it's just so hard to cover so many players in high school baseball, junior college baseball, college baseball, which isn't that heavy, you know, publicized and televised. So, but, you know, just going based off raw stuff and looking at what I have from the last few days, Bobby Miller doesn't look like a bad pick. With the Dodgers' second pick, they went with another right-handed pitcher, a college pitcher, Landon Knack, out of East Tennessee State. And Landon Knack is known for throwing strikes. He had 51 strikeouts and just 1 walk in the spring before baseball season got shut down, leading the nation in strikeout-to-walk ratio. He had a 108 ERA. Throws in the low to mid-90s. He can touch 98 occasionally. Hopefully with some more strength, he'll be able to hit that a little more consistently. And again, you know, just another strong pick, sticking with college pitchers who are already a little more fast-tracked to get to the big leagues than usual. You know, Billy Gasparino said about him, he's an elite strike thrower, former position player that started pitching, and naturally gifted at throwing strikes. He had a big jump in improvement from last season to this season. He said it was quite a large gap, so that's kind of what shot him up their boards. So looks pretty good so far. You know, this draft is looking good. Obviously, you're going to get a lot of optimism from Billy Gasparino and others involved with the Dodgers. Just what we've seen from the Dodgers player development side, you know, even if these guys need a little more polish or aren't quite there exactly, just based on recent years, you can bet that, you know, they're at least going to have some kind of impact with the team. Another one in round two, a comp pick. They took a third right-handed pitcher out of college, Clayton Beter out of Texas Tech. Clayton Beter was a closer last year, moved to starter this year. He had 33 strikeouts and 4 walks in his 4 starts this spring. Struck out 12 batters in his last start of the year. Gasparino said that Beter has the best breaking ball in the draft class and was pleasantly surprised by the command. He did have Tommy John surgery before, but he's, you know, getting away. Obviously, he's, you know, further away from that than he was, and especially this year when there might not be minor league baseball. And, you know, the Texas Tech coach has said he's one of the strongest guys they've ever had as a pitcher there, so that's interesting. Another thing Gasparino did say about Beter is that, you know, all the pitchers they picked, they want to try him as starters, but that Beter's breaking ball could make him potentially, you know, dangerous in the bullpen. So that's one guy to look out for who could come up faster than these other guys just based on he might become a reliever. In round three, the Dodgers went to high school ranks and took an outfielder by the name of Jake Vogel out of Huntington Beach High School here in Southern California. Gasparino said that if Vogel's speed isn't first among their entire system, it's top two or three. He has a 70 grade speed, which is the highest on the 2nd highest on the 2080 scale that scouts use. He's committed to UCLA, so, you know, there may be some signability issues, but picked round three by the Dodgers for a Huntington Beach kid. I don't know if they'll have too much issues signing him. He's a dynamic athlete and has a strong arm. Gasparino said he's got a hand flick to his finish that creates a lot of power for his size. They have to clean up a few issues with his load and his swing path, but the player development guys are chomping at the bit to get a hold of him because they think that he'll be able to take off with some instruction. So another one of those that may be a little bit of a project pick. Obviously, anytime you pick a high school player, it's going to be a little bit project. He's probably not going to play for you for 2, 3, 4 years. But, you know, elite athlete, maybe in the Jaron Kendall mold, but hopefully a little bit better hitting wise. You know, we'll see what happens with him. But, you know, another one to be excited about, even just based on the speed. You know, the Dodgers can always utilize speed. And, you know, the verbiage is that speed never slumps. There have been some players that can get away from that, but we'll see where that goes. In round four, the Dodgers took a catcher out of Virginia Tech, Carson Taylor. He hit .431 in 16 games before the shutdown this year. Led the team in batting, runs, doubles, RBI, OBP, and OPS. He was a 2-year starter at Virginia Tech. And he was very good at fielding. You know, catcher fielding percentage is a little wishy-washy in terms of what it actually shows, but he did have a perfect fielding percentage in 2020 and a .998 fielding percentage in total. Gasparino had to say about him that he broke his hammock bone his freshman year and tried to go play at the Cape Cod with it, so he's kind of been playing hurt. But it all made sense when he was healthy this year, and that's who kind of showed up and hit over 400 early on in the season. So that's another one to get excited for. And the last pick was another right-hander, college right-hander out of Central Arkansas, Gavin Stone. He's another one with a big-time strikeout-to-walk ratio. He had 31 strikeouts and just 6 walks in his time at Central Arkansas in 2020. In his last start, he did throw a no-hitter with 13 strikeouts, so that's exciting. In his 3 years at Central Arkansas, he had a 2.42 ERA, 109 strikeouts, and 101 and one-third innings. So a lot of talent to be excited about, a lot of, you know, strong arms, a lot of hard throwers, which I personally love. And it's exciting, you know, not too much You're not going to get too much analysis from me. Like I said, I'm not a big draft guy or amateur baseball guy, but we will have more from future Dodgers on Monday, but that's just a quick breakdown. I'm going to get into a little bit of my backstory and kind of get some advice out there for anyone that's maybe looking to get into the digital sports media industry. But before that, let's talk about Rock Auto, rockauto.com to be exact. You know, there's a lot of different places to go get your car parts, but not all of them are like rockauto.com. Not all of them have all the parts that you need or any part that you need. Not a lot of them give you those parts at prices that mechanics pay for. You know, so a lot of the stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics, do-it-yourselfers. Rockauto.com, same price for everybody, and they're always reliably low. Rockauto.com is a family business that's been serving online customers for 20 years now, and they have everything from engine control modules to brake parts to tail lamps, even new carpet. Whatever you need, you can get it at rockauto.com. And if you do end up going to rockauto.com, making a purchase, and the How Did You Hear About Us box, let them know that Locked On sent you, so they know that you guys are listening. They have amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. And keep it locked on Dodgers. All right, so I'm going to pass on the obscure former Dodger today. We'll get back into it next week. But yeah, I wanted to just talk a little bit about myself. Like I said, I've been getting a lot of questions. I always get questions, but more recently, I feel like I've been getting more questions. You know, a lot of people are graduating right now or graduating, even if it's just high school or college or junior college, whatever it is, and maybe thinking about getting into the sports media industry, digital sports media industry, digital media, whatever it is that you want to get into. Or even if you just, you know, want to write or talk about sports or whatever it is, I'm just kind of going to go through my experiences, my advice, and just kind of talk about myself for a little bit. I feel like maybe you guys don't get to hear about me so much. Maybe you do. Maybe you don't want to hear about me. But either way, that's what we're going to talk about. So when I graduated high school, I went to Long Beach State, and I actually went in as a graphic design major. I had a couple graphic design classes in high school, and you know, I liked the idea of creating logos or, you know, creating whatever it was that was on Photoshop or any programs. So I went to Long Beach State, and I was not aware that graphic design majors had to take a bunch of art classes. So I'm in a bunch of these art classes where I'm the worst artist of them all, because all these people are legit art majors, not computer, Photoshop, or other type graphic design majors. So I got tired of it, and I started thinking about it, and maybe graphic design wasn't the way for me. So I switched over to journalism with the focus on sports journalism. I figured I already read pretty much every sports magazine that we get sent to us. I read the sports page every morning. I talk about sports all the time. Why wouldn't I want to be involved in sports? So I switched over, and it was, you know, instant connection, instant hit. I got into the Daily 49er and started writing articles for them, non-sports, but still, you know, working on my writing skills and getting my name out there. I took a sports journalism class that I loved with, you know, Gary Metzger over at Long Beach State, and he used to work at the LA Times, so he knew what the industry was about. At that time, I still thought I wanted to be a sports writer, and you know, he was very commendable of my work and liked my work, so it made me feel that this was the right move for me. Funny stories that I did end up meeting Bill Plaschke that year, and he was coming off the set of Around the Horn. This was before Bill Plaschke started getting a column and opinions that, you know, I necessarily don't agree with. And, but I mean, it was still pretty cool. And, yeah, so, you know, fast forward, I had Twitter back then, but obviously not to the extent of now. I usually used it to get news and find things out before everyone else. And back then, this was, you know, 2011, 2012, 2013 era. Not a lot of people had Twitter, so I usually was one of the few in my classes that had Twitter, used Twitter, and a lot of the classes kind of required you to make Twitter accounts or other social media accounts in order to get with the times. But yeah, I just started doing that, taking all the classes necessary to get my degree, and at that point was still wanting to be a sports writer. You know, I'm thinking of writing for LA Times or ESPN or Sports Illustrated, or back then all those were still big publications and not a thriving industry, but thriving enough. And I applied for an internship with Lakers Nation, Dodgers Nation, and Raiders Tribune, which was my three teams. So, you know, perfect internship, don't you think? And I crushed the interview, to say the least. I'm very good at interviews, so it's a little bit tough when I have to give people advice. But, you know, crushed the interview. Obviously, I know all about all those three teams. I got in as, you know, I was going to focus on the Raiders and Dodgers and help out with the Lakers, which is exactly what I did. At that time, Dodgers Nation was still a little bit in its infancy, so I was able to hop on and be writing articles right away for Raiders Tribune and for Dodgers Nation. This was the 2013 season, I believe, or 2013 season. So, you know, that was fun. That was, I was getting to write about the Dodgers. It was an unpaid internship. I would, you know, people ask me about that a lot as well. And I see the debates on Twitter. And here's my thing is if you can afford to do it and it's something you want to do, I'm not going to say don't ever take an unpaid internship. But, you know, that's just the reality of the situation. I was able to make it work. It was tough, though. You know, I did have to, between internship and a full-time schedule, I did have to quit the job that I did have. And I was only working on weekends, so I was very low on funds at the time. But it was all, you know, part of the grind, part of, you know, what I thought was going to help me get to where I wanted to be. But now, you know, there's a lot of internships out there that pay or at least give you something. You know, obviously look for those first, but if there's, you know, if you can feel like you can handle it and it's going to help you, I would never knock you for taking an unpaid internship. And I just started working and writing all the time and putting up articles and, you know, making myself as valuable as I could. And when my internship was up, they asked me to stay on as a staff writer, making a little bit of money now. Not a lot, very little, but, you know, enough that it made it a little bit more worth it. After a few months, just, you know, basically grinding out all these articles and putting up all this content, I, you know, kind of went to them and said, hey, you know, I need to make a little bit more money. I can't stick around. I love being here and I love doing this, but, you know, real life is also part of it and I need to kind of move on. And they were willing to do that. But then, you know, a couple, maybe not even a month or so later, the man who was in charge of Dodgers Nation got a job and moved on, and they needed someone to take over Dodgers Nation, the day-to-day operations, social media, and the writing. It was offered to me and Matt Moreno, who does Dodger Blue now, who was coincidentally in my sports journalism class at Long Beach State. So it was he was an intern, so obviously we had seen each other before, but, you know, it was a Long Beach State connection there. And kind of took over, you know, Matt kind of took over more of the day-to-day of the writing and the articles, and I took over more of the day-to-day of the social media, but obviously we split those duties as well. And it was just putting in a lot of work, you know, when they talk about the grind, that's what it was, covering the Dodgers all year round, putting in probably 60 to 80 plus hours a week, just making sure everything was always taken care of. For not the pay that was worthy of a 60 to 80 hour work week, but or, you know, 40 to 60 to 80, whatever it was, definitely wasn't getting paid what it was, but I was making it work, had a couple side jobs and kind of, you know, had my foot in the door, I felt like, already, and I hadn't even finished school yet. So I obviously started was running Dodgers Nation the 2014 season. We got access to a couple events, which was fun and cool and you know, the good experience for me personally. And then in the 2015 season, we actually got more access and were able to go to more games and pretty much got accepted into every home game that year to cover, whether it was me or Matt. A couple we didn't get into if they were more other media of the other. But the Dodgers are very good at including digital media. They've been, you know, one of the probably the better teams with that. I believe the Giants still don't really allow digital media, last I remember. But either way, we were there. you know, cool to see your name in the event, in the press box, and you know where your assigned seat is. And I've told those stories before of how that day is a grind. You get to the park around 2 o'clock. Sometimes you don't leave till 12 or later, depending how long the game goes. And it is fun. And you know, you're doing what you love. It doesn't really feel like work, although you do get tired. But yeah, that's where it was. Obviously, Bill Dodger Nation. If you guys remember my time there, you know, social media, we had a few of the catchphrases. That's where Get Out Ball was born. We, you know, try to keep it fun, try to, you know, and that's where I kind of figured that social media might be where it's at. At that time, the social media joke was always, you know, the interns. And interns did run social media for teams and leagues and stuff for a long time. But then they started realizing that there was an asset, and they started hiring people specifically for those types of jobs. And that's what I kind of started seeing around people I kind of interacted with, or people looking for jobs. That's kind of where I saw them going. And that was exciting. And fortunately, the time with Dodger Nation came to an end after the 2015 season due to basically the company, the people, the owners of Lakers Nation and Dodgers Nation split up. One side kept Lakers Nation but lost Dodgers Nation, and there wasn't enough room for, at that time, two people to run one Dodger page. So lost the job there, so that kind of sucked. But then went back to my old job of working with kids in after school programs, which I hated at that point, especially because I was already doing what I wanted to do, and now I was working with kids again. But you know, just always applying for jobs, making connections, and luckily one of those connections, when I was an intern with Lakers Nation, Dodgers Nation, one of those guys, Ryan Cole, was working at Bleacher Report, and he knew they were looking for someone in the social media department. He reached out to me, said I should apply. I applied. The next morning I had email and a phone call interview set up with one of the people at Bleacher Report. Kill that phone interview as much as you can kill a phone interview. Had another phone interview, two phone interviews actually, for two different positions about a week or two later. And then the great wait of about, it felt like forever, but it was only one, like 2 weeks. I got the call that I got the job at Bleacher Report, and I was going to move to San Francisco, and I was going to have my first real full-time role and salaried role. So that was exciting. Went to Bleacher Report, and they were kind of revamping their whole social identity, and I was kind of part of that, and that was fun. You know, and it was basically just talking like I'm talking with my friends on social media and covering sports. And, you know, it's hard to complain about watching sports and tweeting or posting on Instagram about it. And it really was not, no complaints for me. It was a fun job. I met a lot of great people over there, and it was super legit. And then after 2 years there, I got an offer from a startup in San Diego, which was trying to be a Players Tribune type website, giving athletes their voice and working more directly with athletes and telling their stories. So I got to be closer to home. I took that job. There I learned that you need to ask a lot more questions in job interviews, especially if you're the one being pursued, because a lot of the issues that came up there could have probably been answered better in interviews, and I would have had a better idea of just exactly where the company was at and what kind of they were trying to do and how the management was. But, you know, you live and you learn. The company there, I was there, I started in August. The company folded the following April. So, you know, still a fun time there. I got to kind of run my own thing and run my own show and get more out there. And then came back to LA, was just kind of, you know, freelancing, doing some social media consulting work, which sounds funny, but, you know, people are trying to find that magic, that mojo that works on social media. And if you have a voice that is able to present that and put a plan together, then, you know, people will pay you for it. And that was kind of fun. But then I landed here at where I'm at now at Wave, and running, you know, a senior social media person there, running the football account, and then with baseball account shortly to come, which I'm doing right now. And it's fun. You know, it's still fun. It's still a grind. It's always going to be a grind, especially when you're back into a startup life. But I love it. You know, it's, I have no real complaints. You know, I'll have little complaints here and there, but none of them are real to make sense of, you know, what, just exactly how lucky I am and how, thinking of all the past experiences I've had. I mean, I've met countless, you know, the Dodgers, obviously I got to cover the Dodgers, my favorite team. I've met countless other athletes at other events or even one-on-one, and covering events. I got to be at Game 7 of the World Series covering it. Obviously, it wasn't the Dodgers, but it was still fun to see those the look on those Astros fans' faces when Howie Kendrick hit that home run and them walking out of the stadium, taking a big fat L in Game 7, knowing exactly how they felt, because that's how I felt a couple years, or the year, 2 years before when I was at Game 7 at Dodger Stadium. So that's a long-form way of putting... a long but still short way of my kind of path to where I'm at now. I guess I probably should have focused more on advice, but we'll get into that now. You know, if you're already listening at this point, you might as well stick around for the advice. And the biggest pieces of advice I give people these days is to always make sure you're known in the room. You know, strong, firm handshakes. Let your name out there. If you have business cards or whatever it is, make sure that's out there. You know, shake as many hands as possible, meet as many people as possible. Your network is really, you know, they say networking is key, and it really is. I mean, I, like I said, Ryan Cole and I, who got me the job at Bleacher Report, or helped get me the job, we didn't interact too much, but we interacted enough to where, you know, we remembered each other, and we had each other on social media, and, you know, he knew that I would fit the role. And even when... the company in San Diego folded, Officialized, when Officialized folded, and I was able, and I was looking for work, I had countless people, you know, recommending me or reaching out to me or putting in words for me at different companies and stuff like that. And it was rewarding to see, you know, all that networking, all those, you know, always being personable and, you know, talking to people and, you know, stuff like that. It was all going to pay off in the long run, and it has paid off, and it will probably continue to pay off as we move forward, and that's kind of the big one. The other one specifically for, you know, digital media world is just do as much as you can. Luckily for me, you know, having the little bit of a graphic design background helped out, because, you know, this guy, I can do graphics and I can do writing, and early on, that's what kind of helped. And then, you know, beyond that, at Dodgers Nation, I was writing, I was doing graphics, I was, you know, taking photos, I was doing interviews, I was doing on-camera work, you know, anything we needed or I felt like we needed, I was able to do, and I had the freedom to do it. And you know, that's just more to add onto your portfolio. I do wish I would have maybe done a little more video editing back in the day, but, you know, we had a video editor and I didn't really need to worry about it too much. And I had a decent enough knowledge of video editing to pass by. And now that's kind of the skill I've been working on, the, you know, trying to perfect a little more in order to add that asset to my tool belt. You know, the more assets you have, it's kind of like the Dodgers, you know, the more positions you can play, and if you're, you know, strong at one position or all positions, you know, they're going to find a way for you to get in there. And that's kind of how I see myself. You present yourself as an asset that a company needs, and you make it hard for them to say no to you or to you know, let you go or whatever it is. So that's always, you know, the biggest thing I probably tell people. And it's funny now, because there's kids coming out of college or even coming out of high school that have 10 times more experience in things than I did when I kind of got out. But I was out in 2012, 2013, when the social media industry and digital media industry weren't as blown up as it is now, where, you know, companies have full-fledged social media teams. You know, there's one person, some people have one person for Instagram, one person for Twitter, one person for Facebook, one person for Snapchat, whatever it is. You know, there's dedicated teams built around all this. So it's definitely a hard space to get into, but if you're creative, if you're willing to work, and if you're gonna, you know, grind it out, you're gonna find a place in it. And that's, you know, the main advice I always give people is make yourself an asset and make yourself known. And if you have those two things, you know, you're already halfway there, and then it's just getting your foot in the door. And once you do get your foot in the door, you make sure that your foot stays in that door, and you eventually walk all the way through that door and into you know, like I said, being an asset and being indispensable at what you do and what you're working on. So, you know, that's the biggest piece of advice I would have. Obviously, you know, always work on other things, you know, your writing, always be working is kind of a big one. And I know it's tough. You want to find your balance. And I think that's the other part of it, is finding your balance. Early on, you know, you want to work. But even when I was putting up those 40, 60, you know, 60 to 80 hour work weeks, I would still find time to, you know, step away and hang out with friends, hang out with family, make sure, you know, I was still doing what I was normally doing, being social, because, you know, you need that to keep your sanity, and you need that to just find inspiration. Sometimes, you know, you go watch a movie, you go for a walk, you go to the beach or whatever, and you find inspiration, or you think of things that you maybe didn't think about before, you know, you come up with something that you maybe wouldn't have came up with if you hadn't done that. So that's another part of it, is keeping your sanity. I know it's hard in these days. There's a lot of anxiety, a lot of, you know, if you're just graduating, you're going to have a lot of anxiety, especially in this specific time right now. But, you know, just trust in yourself and put the work into yourself, and you'll be rewarded for the most part. You know, I can't say it's going to work out for everybody, but I truly believe that if you, you know, believe in yourself, put in the work in yourself, and have a confident attitude, that you'll make it where you want to make it. So long-winded, I mean, that's basically what I have for you guys. Hopefully, if you listened all the way through, I appreciate it. If not, I still appreciate you for listening, at least to the point where I started talking about myself. I just had a lot of questions, and I know it's a time, especially right now, like I said, a lot of people are graduating in an uncertain time. So reach out to me if you want to get more advice, or you want more, whatever you need, reach out to me. I'm always going to be here. And also, you know, the other part of it is, you don't have to be just graduating or any of that to kind of get into an industry. If you feel like you have the knowledge or the creativity to do something, or you want to do something, you know, just start doing it. There's a lot of people I've worked with that maybe don't have degrees, or have degrees in a completely different area of expertise or whatever it is, and they found their way into it. And once you're in it, you're in it, and it's hard to get out of it. So that's where I stand now. You know, this one goes a little bit more specifically to the people of color. You know, I know it's a hard industry to get to. I've been the only one in a room that speaks a different language. I've been the only one in the room that's not white. I've been the only one in a room that's, you know, had different experiences than everyone else. And I've always tried to pay it forward and try to get more people into my world and into the realm, and you know, just kind of get the diversity in there, because, you know, that's what you need. You need to have an all-around, all-encompassing type of group in order to get the best work. So like I said, if you have any, reach out to me on Twitter at Vince Amperio. My DMs are always open, and we can go from there. So that'll do it for today's episode. Thank you all for listening. If you listen this far, I really appreciate it. We'll be back on Monday, like I said, with future Dodgers, to talk more in depth about all these Dodgers picks and see exactly who the Dodgers got. If you want to do so, please subscribe, Locked On Dodgers, wherever you get your podcasts. Rate, review as well, if you have the time to do so. Tell your friends, tell your family. Tell other Dodger fans in your life. Post about us on social media. We are on Twitter and Instagram at Locked On Dodgers. Jeff is on Twitter at Snydog. I'm at Vince Samperio. You can always call and leave us a voicemail, or shoot us a text at 323-863-5625, or shoot us an email, lockedondodgers@gmail.com. We're here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be with us when you get in your car. Tell your smart device to play a podcast, Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree, you just have to listen. Have a good one.
I say D-O, D-O-D-G-E-R-S. The team that's all heart, all heart and all thumbs, they're my Los Angeles, your Los Angeles, our Los Angeles. Do you think we'll really win the pennant? Bye!